In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. During this novena, leading up to the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, the sermons are focusing on certain Marian antiphons or hymns. And I've been given the fortunate task of speaking about the Ave Regina Caelorum, that Marian antiphon which is sung at the end of the Office of Compline from the evening of February 2 through until the Wednesday of Holy Week. While the Ave Regina Caelorum is sung throughout the seasons of Septuagesima, Lent, and Passiontide, one might think on first glance that this text is not particularly fitting to those liturgical seasons. By contrast, if we look at the Regina Caeli, which focuses on the joy of Our Lady at the resurrection of her Son, and the Alma Redemptoris Mater, which refers to the virginal birth at Christmas, both of these contain material most fitting to their respective seasons. Father Bachmann, a monk at Clear Creek Abbey in Oklahoma, suggests that the Ave Regina Caelorum may have first been assigned to the office of None on the Feast of the Assumption. And this is because of the inclusion of the Ave, or Hail, a greeting of Our Lady, on a number of occasions, and then toward the end of the antiphon, the Vale, or Farewell, as she goes to eternal glory in heaven. While the date of the composition of the Ave Regina Caelorum is uncertain, variants of the text have been found in St. Alban's book of the 12th century, in a Sarum breviary of the 14th century, and in the York and Roman breviaries of the 15th century. The version that is in current use dates from the revision of the Roman breviary promulgated by Pope Clement VIII in 1602. And so tonight, my sermon will focus on the current version of the Ave Regina Caelorum. And I'll make use of a translation provided in the parish book of chant. So we'll now focus briefly on the translated text that I'll use. And the first line is this: Hail, Queen of Heaven. Hail, Lady of the Angels. These words acknowledge Mary, God's most perfect creature, in her exalted place in heaven, as queen not only of the saints, but also of all the choirs of angels. What is said of Mary must be seen in terms of her relationship to Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the King. Mary reflects his kingship, not only as she has formed him when he was a child, as she followed his public ministry, as she stood at his cross during his passion, but also now as she participates in heavenly glory. Mary's fiat at the Annunciation was an acceptance of Christ the King as her Son. And so her choice to be Christ-centered and the God-bearer gives her dignity above the angels. As we continue the antiphon, Hail the root, hail the gate, from which the light of the world arose. The Blessed Virgin Mary is a royal rod of the root of Jesse. Her womb is the gate from which the true light, Jesus Christ, was born. Saint Ambrose acknowledged Mary with these words: You yourself, who have brought forth the Lord, are of the land of Israel. You have grown into a rod, the rod from the root of Jesse. You have arisen and flowered, O rod of Aaron. You have flowered and brought forth. Mary is not only the Theotokos, the Christ-bearer, the God-bearer, but she was, first of all, filled with grace by Christ himself. And this, of course, brings us to note the Immaculate Conception. Mary, the Immaculate Conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, was preserved immune from all stain of original sin from the first moment of her conception. And this grace was conferred upon her by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race. Our antiphon continues. Rejoice, glorious Virgin, lovely beyond all others. This invitation to rejoice is really evocative of the angel Gabriel's first word of greeting to Mary. And this was handed on to us in the Greek text of St. Luke's Gospel. The angel Gabriel said in the Greek, Kyrie. And this word is often translated as hail. But it can also mean rejoice. And so I think it is most fitting to translate the angel's Kyrie as rejoice. Yes, Mary, you must rejoice, and all of humanity should rejoice with you, for this is the greatest of news. It is through your fiat and the action of the Holy Spirit that you became the mother of our Savior. All the promises and prophecies of old are to be fulfilled because of your fiat. Let it be done to me according to your word. It is through the grace of your Son that you are lovely beyond all others. You are the fairest member of our race. You are different from all the other children of Eve, those who are stained as they are by original sin. You, Mary, are the Immaculate Conception. And finally, returning to our antiphon, farewell, O most beautiful one, and pray for us to Christ. There seems to be something very personal in this final line, an intimacy in saying, farewell, O most beautiful Virgin Mary. But it is also a gentle reminder that we depend upon our Mother's prayers of intercession. Mary, in maternal love for all God's children, is constantly praying for us to Christ, who is the unique mediator between God and man. The maternal duty of Mary toward men in no wise obscures or diminishes this unique mediation of Christ, but rather shows his power. Whenever we sing or recite the Ave Regina Caelorum, may we be assured of Our Lady's mediation and maternal care for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.